And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road here with the great Mark Howard in for Robbie Stanley. We got the great Elijah Campbell in for Michelle Knezovic. We've got a heck of a show and probably dominated by one topic. But before we get to that one topic, Mark.
Yep.
I do wanna ask you. Here we go.
All right, here we go.
There we go. I do want to ask you about the Nashville Predators because they got a win yesterday too. Two professional teams in town got wins yesterday. Real quick on the Nashville Predators, and we'll get into them later. We're gonna have Darren McFarland at 9 o'clock hour, but I want your 6-game take on the Predators before we get to the Titans.
Well, until last night, not very offensive. They decided to not really blow up, but at least tinker with the first two lines and put Cunning up front with Johansson and Duchesne and put Forsberg back there with Grantland and had a positive effect. Go figure. 1-4 team goes in to play a 4-0 team and blows their doors off. The night after they got humiliated in Winnipeg 6-3, Connor Ingram, nice start. Nice NHL debut.
Goalie controversy.
Yeah, there you go. I don't think – backup goalie controversy maybe.
I tell you what, I think he made a case, didn't he, for that?
He certainly did. And that's a guy whose numbers the last couple of years, even for, casual Preds fans, will look at Ingram and say, what's the deal here? And you keep hearing back, maybe a backup goalie in the NHL. He had other issues – that he had to deal with personal issues that forced him to take a lot of the year off. But this guy apparently, has gotten his act back together. And they also tweaked, the first two D pairings, which is interesting. They put Fabro with Yossi, and that seems to work pretty well. Fabro is making the necessary improvements. I'm not going to jump off a building like a lot of people after 6 games because if you're going to do what the Preds did, it's going to take a little while for some of these guys to gel in their new roles. Tomasino obviously is not overwhelmed by his situation. He's got 2 goals. Okay, not great on the defensive end, but not a lot of young forwards are. So, yeah, and I don't want to hear how analytically – the first line was playing great, among the best in the league. I am one of these, don't want to hear about the labor pains, want to see the baby type of guys.
I like that.
But, last night, good to see the team responding to some of the tweaks. Special teams were very good, especially the power play. Like the move to put Yossi in the slot. They came away with a win over a division rival at a time where had they lost, they would have been 1-5, and what happens here when they're 1-5.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They badly needed the first win. They badly needed their second win. They had 8 goals in their first 4 games. They have 9 goals in their last 2 games. So, if you can get out of the – not make a habit of giving up 6 goals like they did at Winnipeg Saturday, then maybe you're finding something, maybe.
Yeah, this is not the type of hockey that that we saw under Laviolette, where the end to end. This is more defensive oriented, sort of counterattacking, and that's the way they're going to play. And so you're going to see a lot of 1-0, 2-1. As Barry Trotz used to say, we need to get to 3, and that is sort of the stated goal for the Preds. If they get to 3, they should win.
Yeah. Meanwhile, if the Titans, just hold the Chiefs to 3 points, they're fine. Just hold the Chiefs to 3. Like, I know there's going to be a lot of people today who are like, and I heard this some yesterday too, like, oh, yeah, I could see this coming. No one saw this coming. No one. No one saw Titans 27, Chiefs 3 coming. So, first of all, what the heck happened yesterday, Mark?
Well, in the words of the late, great Jack Buck, I can't believe what I just saw. I thought in the first half, it was the football equivalent of a perfect game. They were up 27-0. They totally shut down one of the best offenses in the NFL. And I thought Shane Bowen's defensive game plan, I'm sure Jim Schwartz had something to do with it, was brilliant. You know, the one thing they couldn't do was allow big plays on vertical routes. That's something the Titans corners just weren't going to play. So they were going to allow the Chiefs to catch the ball in front of them, keep everything in front of you, and then tackle the receiver. Plus, they got terrific pressure up front from their front seven. Mahomes was constantly pushed deep in the pocket. He was constantly throwing off his back foot. And when he does that, he makes bad throws. He makes inaccurate throws. And they were able to do that. And they got off the field. I mean, it was you know, you're looking at you're watching the TV and you're like, this is not the same defense I've been watching all year. But I thought they played a terrific game. And they followed it up in the second half to where the Chiefs never got air. Just never let them back up for air. And I don't want to hear around the league about how the Chiefs are broken. The Chiefs are this, the Chiefs are that. Yeah, Josh Allen slipped on Monday, and the Chiefs broke down yesterday. Had nothing to do with how the Titans played. And maybe that's good, because maybe they can feed off that. But all I know is, with a street free agent, you know, Greg Maben, you know, who had been on the team previously, played just about the whole game. I mean, it's crazy. Bobby Hart, who they grabbed off the Bills practice squad earlier in the week, had to play most of the game at left tackle. It was remarkable.
Yeah, and Greg Maben off the Cardinals.
Yes.
So two teams they, you know, just played. You take a couple practice squad guys. Bobby Hart forced into action because Kendall Lamb twisted his ankle. Kendall Lamb in for Telawana's concussion. And we could spend a whole show on their injuries that keep, you know, that list keeps growing. But Greg Maben, Breon Borders had some rough moments Monday. He doesn't play. He plays on special teams, doesn't play on defense. Greg Maben comes in, plays the whole game. They've got Janoris Jenkins, who hasn't had a very good year. He's struggled. Elijah Molden, rookie, who I think we're seeing really grow. But, I mean, that's your corner group in this game. No Christian Fulton. Caleb Farley's done for the year.
And Dane Cruikshank back out there.
Dane Cruikshank's out there for Amani Hooker. Chris Jackson can't go, and it's like, I mean, they have nowhere to go. I in terms of look, I'm not stunned that the Titans beat the Bills in a shootout on Monday. Like, you know, I can totally see that happen. That's a game that makes sense, okay? And the Titans beating any team in this league, not stunning. That they are good enough to beat any team in this league without question. They're always going to have the loss of the Jets too. That'll always be there, but they're good enough to beat every 27-3, and that defense doing what it did. The Chiefs have struggled, yes, and you're right, Mark. People are It's going to be more what the Bills didn't do, what the Chiefs aren't. Although I think also the Titans are going to be running out of stuff to feed off of here, because, you know, I mean, you can't do this twice in 6 days and not start to change the story a little bit. But, I mean, you know, holding this team, the Chiefs, as rough as Mahomes has been turning the ball over, they're still averaging 30.8 points a game. It's not like they haven't been scoring. I mean, they've still been going up and down the field. And if you took the turnovers out, some of them wacky, going into this game, there are people who are like, this offense is as good as it's been.
Well, and here's the other thing, Joe, and you know this. It's hard in this league to outcoach the other guy. It just is. And what the Titans staff has done, what Vrabel and staff has done to me on Monday night and yesterday is pretty remarkable. Because Sean McDermott and his staff, and of course Andy Reid and his staff, are among the best in the league. And they got, you know, they got out X and O'd, but, you know, by miles. You know, just a lot of things that the Titans did with their personnel. You know, Bowen went with that front four package of Autry and Dupree on the outside and Jeffrey Simmons and Landry on the inside. You know, other teams have sort of used a version of it. They call their four aces, where they put, you know, four pass rushers down. But that really works for the Titans. And I'm just telling you, the down-to-down pressure they put on Mahomes was pretty amazing. Plus, they got two teams who have mediocre running games, so they really weren't worried about, you know, giving up big yards on the ground. But, you know, like I said, I thought Shane Bowen, again, had a great game, as did Todd Downing, who got a more consistent Ryan Tannehill from the start of the game to the end. That was another thing. Tannehill was awful in the first half against Buffalo Monday, and I thought he was terrific from start to finish yesterday.
Yeah, no, Tannehill, I mean, he gets to the point of 21 straight completions yesterday. Like I said, I mean, he was bad in the first half Monday. They still don't win the game if he doesn't go 9-for-9 in the fourth quarter. Like, they don't win it. But he carried that over, and, you know, you can see with A.J. Brown now, he got the, you know, flushed it all out of the system and, you know, got some rice and potatoes in there and looked like A.J. Brown.
More judicious choice of restaurants, I guess.
Yeah, you know, maybe, yeah, ease up on the fast food / fast casual, whatever you want to call Chipotle.
Dude, I don't know about you, but if you've ever had food poisoning, you had...
I've never had food poisoning that lasted a week, though.
I had food poisoning in Las Vegas that lasted 3 days that I just wanted to die.
So we're talking about, like, the Treasure Island buffet at 4 a.m.?
The Caesar's Palace buffet.
There we go. The Caesar's... That's a good buffet. Man, that's very disappointing.
Don't eat the brisket. Should not have eaten the brisket that day.
Don't eat the Caesar's brisket. Oh, man. So many life lessons we can get those. All right. We're going to get a break. When we come back, we're gonna stick with that defense and Shane Bowen and company. Do we buy this Titans defense now? Coming up next on Robbie and Rex Show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derrick Henry making his MVP case. I mean, hey, that makes sense. You know, it's like, you know what? You want to talk quarterbacks for MVP? All right, then. We'll get a little touchdown pass for Derrick Henry. That was a very nice feathery pass led by Cole Pruitt. Got the Titans, believe that was their first touchdown on the board, in yesterday's 27-3 win. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Show. Joe Rex Show, Mark Howard, Elijah Campbell producing. So we will get to Derrick Henry and that situation, Mark, but I want to stick with the defense here and just ask you this simple question. Is this a good defense?
It's a good question. I got to see a little more. It's certainly a defense that had a good day. What encourages me yesterday was Dupree, that we finally started seeing signs of a guy they spent a lot of money on and expected a lot of production. Because if you suddenly start getting the real Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, who's on his way, you know, to a career season, and the other thing that I like is Autry and Simmons. When you get that interior rush, it just destroys an offensive line. It destroys protections, and quarterbacks totally panic. And you saw Mahomes, when they A-gapped him a couple of times, even the best quarterbacks don't know what to do. And so this is going to be a defense that has a chance to have a pretty good front end. Let's face it, the secondary sort of is what it is outside of Byard.
Okay, but I'll interrupt, but what about Christian Fulton? Like, I'm thinking of yesterday's defense thinking, when they get Fulton back, what does that mean?
When they get Fulton back, they have a solid secondary. Maybe not great, but solid. I'm not a big Jackrabbit Jenkins fan. I don't want to hear, you know, he's a gambler. No, he's not a gambler. He's a guesser. Those are two totally different things. And I get it. When you reach a certain point in your career, that's what you got to do. But beyond that, you know, they've got a couple of middle of the road. I think Elijah Molden, even for his lack of speed, is a great tackler and a smart player. And you put him in the right situation, you know, he can work for you, especially in the slot, as vertical as it's become. So solid secondary, maybe above average front seven. You know, this has a chance to be a solid defense.
Well, two of the guys who stood out yesterday, and I mentioned them high in my column on this at The Athletic, because it's like, huh? You know, Dan Cruikshank comes in, does a great job. Rashawn Evans coming, playmaker.
Hello.
Rashawn Evans. That was a heck of a play on the dive and the, you know, tip drill with David Long, tipping that ill-advised rolling left Patrick Mahomes pass. But, I mean, Rashawn Evans is all over the place. So what's sustainable and what is it? You know, Dan Cruikshank, I mean, you want Amani Hooker back. That was, to me, that was like, oh, that's going to kill them. You know, Amani Hooker finally comes back, is a big factor in the win over Buffalo. Then goes on the injury report late in the week with a groin. You're like, man, how is this secondary going to survive that? So Cruikshank comes in, does a great job. Matias Farley comes in. So some of that is like, okay, that's maybe a one-day thing, right? But I agree with you that the front is promising. With Bud Dupree now coming on the other – there were a couple times where Dupree and Landry are meeting in the middle quickly in the backfield.
I think guys like Rashawn Evans will give – I mean, just because of his athleticism and physical ability – will give you some great plays. The problem with me with Evans and just about everybody else, he's sort of a slow reader, and he's not very consistent play to play. David Long, on the other hand, is outstanding. So I don't think they're too worried about that transition. But a guy like Matias Farley, if you give these guys specific roles, a lot of times you can cobble together a pretty good defense. It doesn't just have to be 1 week. Yeah, I mean, to me, to be a great coordinator, I used to talk to Jim Schwartz about this all the time. It's not so much about accentuating your positives, but also your ability to camouflage your negatives.
Right.
And the Titans did a great job of that yesterday. And they got Kansas City to play their game. There are going to be some weeks where that Titans secondary is going to give up big plays on vertical routes because that's just going to be their weakness. But as long as they get that, a good pass rush erases a lot of ills on the back end. It just does. And I can remember, you know, going back all the way to, you know, Javon Curse and how he transformed the defense and how suddenly that Titans back end got a lot better when that quarterback had one less second to throw the football. And again, they generate that kind of pressure. I think they're going to be fine. You know, last year they didn't do that, and to me, you know, Byer didn't have a good. It didn't matter who was back there; it was going to be tough.
Well, look, I'm glad you brought up Byer because I think he's a great example. First of all, he made a huge play of the strip of Mahomes. He's made a lot of plays this year. He looks like Kevin Byer that we're used to,
yep.
A guy with a knack for making plays. And that was the tough thing about last year. I mean, I don't know how many times we talked about, so what's going on with Byard? Is it that he's fallen off? Is he fading? Or is he really just a kind of a product of his environment, which is quarterbacks have all day to throw the ball? And frankly, I think, and not to mention, you have Jonathan Joseph and some guys out there on the outside. I mean, I think you have to have personal responsibility for everyone, but I really do think he was more – the victim of some bad things around him last year than anything.
I thought he was trying to do too much.
And I think
when everybody else is doing their role, Byer can do the little things like the strip, you know, and generating turnovers and making those kind of plays because he just seems to see the field phenomenally well.
So he now looks like Kevin Byard. And so what's sustainable? I think he's a good player. I agree with you on David Long. I mean, he's been a revelation this year. And that's one of those things with David Long, you know, that's sort of a preseason. There are some things you can find in preseason games. And we saw with David Long that, wow, he just looks like he's really worked on his coverage skills, that he just has a better feel for the overall picture of the defense. The pass rush, I agree. Look, Autry right now has been the best pickup of the offseason to me. And two more sacks yesterday and just – he's just a really unique player. Someone said it in the postgame, and I actually don't remember who it was, but just, maybe it was Bud Dupree. Like, he's just a different kind of guy. You can put him on the outside, but he's so physical. He's like an interior, you know, defender with enough juice to go out there and also get around the edge. So I think that's sustainable, the pass rush. I still don't understand how the heck they did what they did in the back. Like, how the Chiefs did not find – I mean, Patrick Mahomes' long yesterday was 25 yards. He had 206 yards passing, and really, you know, 60 of that is in garbage time. Then they put in Chad Henne after he gets hit in the head by Jeffrey Simmons. It's still one of those – and Mahomes said after the game it was the same coverages they used against the Bills, very heavy zone looks.
Yes, but the other thing too, Joe, and I think you know this from covering football for a long time, the physicality of the Titans' DBs after a while has a cumulative effect on those receivers where suddenly, you know, they were dropping balls. You know, it was kind of interesting to watch them. You did not see a lot of yards after catch yesterday. And I thought that that was, you know, attributable to the great day the Titans had.
Well, right. Keep it in front of you. I mean, they talk about this every week. And
yeah.
And I think for the most part they execute it, but then there have been games, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about the Jets loss and other games where they have let it get behind them, a communication error or just someone gets, you know, something goes wrong, they get out the big play. Obviously yesterday, you're trying to keep everything in front of you. You're trying to tackle well. They did that. And I do think that Mahomes deserves some criticism for trying to just – I think he was looking for that big shot a little bit too often where it's like, you know what, take 8 yards, keep moving. And maybe that a couple times got him caught in the pocket instead of just taking the simple play.
Yeah, we used to and they're not really comparable, but, you know, Mariota at times would try to extend the play to his detriment. And now we see with Mahomes, there is a negative aspect to it. You know, we all remember the AFC Championship game where he was freaking Houdini, you know, just running all over the place, you know, throwing the ball at odd angles and odd arm angles and just making plays all over the place. But a lot of times when you don't have that kind of room, and they did a good job of keeping him in the pocket and pushing him deep into the pocket, which makes him uncomfortable, you start getting good results if you're a defense.
Yeah, so, look, it's interesting, and we're not going to get much into the next thing ahead, but for anybody who watched the Colts last night, I was impressed. Yeah. I was impressed with their physicality. They really took it to the Niners on the road in a nasty, sloppy rain game. The Titans are about to – you just mentioned physicality, and I think that's an interesting point. You know, it's also like it's so rare, I think, now to think of secondary. At least I don't think of it too often in that way. Like they're intent because you can't headhunt like you did in this game, right, years ago. But I think you're right. I think the Titans overall –
you can tackle well, though.
You can tackle well. You can still, you know, you can still make people think out there. And I do think the overall physicality is a thing for the Titans right now. Kevin Byard talked about that at length yesterday. They're about to play – it's like a different sport, basically. Because you're right. In 6 days, these two wins, two teams that throw a running play out here and there to show it. I mean, really. That's all right. Here you go. We'll just do this for – okay, let's get back to what we do. Well – now we're talking about a slobber knocker coming up Sunday, and the Colts have a chance to, you know, to still make this a one-game lead for the Titans in the division and make it a race. But a lot of that talk ahead this week. In the meantime, we're going to keep with this game, and we're going to talk about the coordinators. Which coordinator for the Titans had a better Sunday? Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road, Mark Howard. Elijah Campbell producing. Robbie and Rexford is sponsored by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Also, hit us up today on the 102.5 The Game phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've got a few I'm going to get to here soon. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry and ESPN 94.9, the 94.9. I said 94.9. ESPN 94.9, the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Wednesday. Nashville SC takes on Cincinnati. Pregame starts at 6:15. The match begins at 6:30. Welcome back in. We're talking Titans 27, Chiefs 3, a score that still doesn't seem real when I say it out loud. And, I think the answer here is obvious. However, I'm not sure that it's as cut and dried as that, but I'll put it to you. Which coordinator had the better day Sunday, Mark Howard?
Well, I would say Shane Bowen by a nose.
Like, okay, so you're not thinking landslide.
No, because Todd Downing had to use a street free agent at arguably maybe the third most important position on the team, left tackle. But what Shane Bowen did to me was remarkable in terms of bringing in Greg Maven and playing him as much as he did, and just keeping the Chiefs out of the end zone. I mean, that's unfathomable. I mean, their Vegas total coming in was 31.5 points. Kansas City, they didn't even get a sniff of that.
No, again, they averaged 30.8 coming into the game.
Yeah, so I thought they did a great job. I thought the offense did a great job because you look at time of possession. And through 40 minutes, the Titans had the ball 30 minutes to Kansas City's 10. You out possession a team 3-1. That to me is totally dominating them.
You know, possession time can be misleading.
Yes.
Can be irrelevant. For example, I think Wake Forest. What Wake Forest? They scored 70 on Army. They had the ball for like 17 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, you look at the respective offenses, though. Army runs the option.
Right.
So, of course, they're going to.
They have 17 play drives. Right.
Yeah.
But, and like for UT and Ole Miss, they have elite offensive numbers across the board. They're among the worst in possession time. But for the Titans, that number matters. That number is a matter that says success for the way they play. I thought Todd Downing was great yesterday. So that's why I think it's worth a discussion, because I thought coming out and hurry up, and, you know, there was a lot of talk during the week about slow starts for the offense, not having that scripted drive have success for this offense, you know, and why is that? And, you know, it's like just like with any drive that fails or succeeds, there's usually a couple plays here or there that will dictate that. But they needed to get that going. So they come out, mostly hurry up, then they slow it down, score. And I agree. You said earlier it was like a perfect game. The first half was like basically perfect football. But other than not finishing the red zone a couple times, you're talking 27.
Even Randy Bullock.
Randy Bullock's good. Well, Brett Kern comes. I mean, you go through the whole thing. Brett Kern comes out. It's like, okay, I guess we finally need the punter. And he just drops a couple straight at the 3-yard line, kind of like, you know, drop the mic and, okay, thank you, Brett Kern. Yeah, Randy Bullock's fine. He's nailing everything. I mean, it was overall, it was all working there. I mean, you can look at the second half. The Titans did not score. But I thought they slid effective drives. I tell you what, I loved – so Tannehill made one bad play yesterday, and it was a pick, and it was a bad throw, but that was the play. So there was a little bit of back and forth on Twitter during that, after that play, like, why didn't he hit the back in the flat or go to somewhere? The play was a throwback to Pruitt, and it was a touchdown. If it wasn't a touchdown, maybe he's caught, but they had that side of the field cleared out, and they had him leaking out. It was a beautiful play. 3rd and 2, and Tannehill just threw a flat pass. It gets picked off by Willie Gay. If he just lofts it, if he just puts a layer on it, I mean, Pruitt is – this wasn't Tannehill going through reads and deciding to throw to Pruitt. The play was a throwback to the tight end, which I love the play. I love the play. It just, you know, Tannehill made one bad pass.
And not that you want them to sit on the lead, but the stated aim in the second half was, as long as the Chiefs weren't scoring – all the Titans wanted to do was take time off the clock, you know, and move the ball a little bit. I don't think they were wholly concerned with Kansas City coming back. That's what surprised me. We were all waiting, even when it got to be 27-3. Okay, that's 3 scores and 3 two-pointers. Very doable with Patrick Mahomes. And it just never came close to fruition.
No, I mean, at halftime, I go over and talk to some of the, you know, Kansas City writers, Sam Mellinger and Vahe Gregorian and, you know, Nate Jones for us. And I'm like, well, guys, I was like, first of all, this is the worst half they've played under the Mahomes, right? Yeah, easily, flat out. Second of all, okay, well, I'll talk to you guys after the game when the final score is 42-41 Chiefs.
Yeah, right? Not
see
really.
You later, you know? I mean, I still totally believe that they were going to, that they had a run in them. So this is the low point. This is the low point output in Andy Reid's 9 season. It's also, I was stunned to actually, and I guess I should have remembered the freaking Super Bowl, but I was like, there's no way they've ever been held without a touchdown. Well, they were held without a touchdown in the Super Bowl. They had 3 field goals, 31-9 loss. That's the only other time, obviously. Other than that, they basically have just been ringing up the scoreboard. Now, of course, in that game, they couldn't block the Bucs. So, but this is a rebuilt offensive line. They couldn't block the Titans. So I think the answer is Shane Bowen. And it's interesting, Mark, earlier you brought up, you said Shane Bowen, and I wonder how much Jim Schwartz had to. So if they play well consistently, is that what people are going to do? Are people going to, well, maybe Jim Schwartz is has got his hands. I mean, he is here. He's advising that, in some way.
Shane Bowen would be crazy not to confer with Schwartzy about it. And the great thing and the great thing about Jim Schwartz, you know, he's not going to try to take any credit for this. That's not what he's there for. He's there, you know, to help Bowen. And you know, my attitude is, and you know, it used to drive me crazy, you know, with you know, especially in the NBA with Kobe and Shaq. Whose team is it? Who cares? If you're winning, it doesn't matter. And it's and when people start asking, well, who should get the credit? Well, who cares? I mean, it's working. And I think Bowen has, yeah, to me, shown that he's up to the task. I mean, that everybody was wondering about that. I don't think there's any question now. And especially the last two games. I mean, their red zone defense Monday night against the Bills. You can't underestimate that. They did a good job. And to me, and you know this too, I always, you know, grade a coaching performance on how a guy does with the personnel that he's handed. Did they overachieve or did they underachieve? Well, you know, pretty obvious here.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's just like this team. You can go back and say, how the heck did like the Jets do what they did? You were up 17-10, and then they basically felt like they could move up and down the field on this defense. So it's still a week-to-week league very much, but you just hit it. I mean, the red zone is – that's where you've got to be good, and they got it done against the Bills. I mean, the first possession, so the Chiefs come out, and they got some plays. Boom, boom. Okay, you got a Kelce quick one. You got a little end around to get Tyreek Hill the ball. Like they're, you know, they've got it down there. You get a third and nine, and Crookshank kind of nudges into Kelce, you know, but good coverage. They didn't call PI. I don't think they should have because it was uncatchable. So you give up a field goal. Then that next drive, Titans move it. They're like coming right down the field. Like, I mean, I think it was 11 straight scoring drives other than an intentional kneel down where the Titans had gotten points between those two games. But that's when the pick to Gay happens, and then you're like, uh-oh. So you got some points for the Chiefs. Now you threw a pick. Now what happens? And the defense stepped up.
Yeah, and on the other side with Downing, he was smart enough to use the opposing defense's desire to shut down Derrick Henry against them. You know, Monday, especially in the second half, it really worked. And Tannehill took advantage. And you could see the Chiefs were run blitzing a lot. And, you know, when you sell out like that, you're going to tackle Henry for some losses. But if he goes play action or goes somewhere else, you know, you're gonna make some plays. And that's what they've been able to do.
Right. So 29 for 86 for him. I thought the Chiefs tackled him as well as anyone. But again, it's a lot of it was because like four guys were combining. Those linebackers were downhill a lot.
Yep.
So now you have that space. Tannehill took advantage of it. Mm. But that next defensive drive, so it's 27-3, they throw the pick. You get Landry Dupree on a pressure on a throwaway, setting up third and 12. That's when Autry, one-on-one, Trey Smith. Trey Smith's been a great story for Kansas City. I think he's going to be a good find. He's a starter, but Danico Autry was in that backfield in about a half second on Trey Smith, one-on-one, sacks Mahomes. They miss a 57-yard field goal, and then it really is kind of it's just kind of run and hide from there for the Titans.
Yeah, and just, you know, jumping back offensively for a second, you know, the last two games, we've started finally, you know, to get a better sense of what the Titans' offense was supposed to be. And that is, you know, pick your poison. We can beat you different ways. We can beat you with Derrick Henry. We can beat you, you know, with the short pass, short and intermediate routes. And we can occasionally throw the long ball, and that's, you know, that's what you want to see. That's why it just drove me nuts about their inattention to the tight end position. Because if you put a good tight end in that offense, it's pretty good.
Well, right. Now, listen, they've got nothing from that. They did have Darrington Evans debut yesterday.
Hello.
You saw a little bit from him. You had Julio Jones with a couple nice plays, and then I'm watching Julio Jones on the sideline, and he a couple times is trying to come in, and Rob Moore, receivers coach, is like, nah. So basically, they just held him out late. I assume it's, again, worried about the hamstring or whatever the heck it is. But if you could ever just get him for a full game with A.J. Brown, with all this, what would that mean? We got a lot of your thoughts on the text line. We're going to get to that next. Keep talking about Titans 27, Chiefs 3 here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road. Mark Howard here in for Robbie. Elijah Campbell producing in for Michelle Knezovic. Talking Titans Chiefs. Got a lot of reaction on the phone line, a text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. In fact, we've got Dave from Old Hickory on the line. Dave wants to talk about the coordinators. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Great.
I'm going to just piggyback off of Mark Howard really quickly. I think you do have to give it to the defensive coordinator simply for keeping the vaunted chief offensive ship captain by Mahomes out of the end zone. I mean, that was a feat in and of itself, because if we remember, this defense started off very paltry. This secondary was depleted to say the least. It was a time where you only had Byard and maybe one other player on the entire 11-man roster on the field. So what they did yesterday was most impressive. I also think that I don't want to take anything away from them, but the Kansas City defense came out as though they knew the offense was with it yesterday, and they weren't going to win that game. So not to say that they didn't play well, and not to say that our offense didn't play extremely well, but that defense looked soft from the beginning of the game. They did keep the Titans off in the second half, but the Titans also looked like they were tired of scoring at that time as well. So, but it was a great win. You know, don't take anything away from it. It was a great win, two in a row. So it's really setting us up to look like a Super Bowl run is likely, if not possible. So that's the takeaway I take from it. I mean, I don't think yesterday's game was anything to write home about when you watched it, but it does seem to be like the Titans have a strong future ahead of them this year. So, have a good one, fellas.
All right, thanks, Dave. Now we got the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, we got to have some Super Bowl references today, right? I think he said Super Bowl and likely in the same sentence. Hey, well, we're going to get into this later, but, I mean, the AFC is pretty wild right now.
All I know is if we flip over to First Take after our show, all you're going to hear about was how bad the Chiefs are. You're not going to hear about the Titans. And the other thing is, Joe, which amuses me to no end, it's almost like the national media doesn't know how to cover or put Derrick Henry into proper historical context. They're so used to measuring quarterbacks and receivers and pass rushers, but suddenly they don't know how to evaluate running backs. And this guy is such an anomaly. I mean, yards per carry is ridiculous. And, you know, for a workhorse running back, to me, that's pretty remarkable, because the knock on Eddie George always was, you know, 3.5 to 3.7 yards per carry. And in the same era, Fred Taylor of Jacksonville was well over 4, but he got injured a little bit more, but still put up numbers. So it's always interesting to me, you know, to how, you know, some of the national media people look at a certain player and how, you know, they sort of frame him in the right context.
Yeah, I will say that on Good Morning Football and some other places, I did at least see some Derrick Henry should be in the MVP race talk, so I give credit to that. But I think you're right. I mean, look, there's a lot of games in this league where the running backs are just sort of, you know, just sort of there, you know, and it's just not the game. Again, the Chiefs, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I like that pick. I think he's a good player. I think they're better with him. But it's more as a pass catcher, right? I mean, it's sort of like, okay, well, we'll take 8 yards here because nothing's there downfield. It's not really running the football. So I think that's a good point. On the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Speaking of, you just mentioned the national media. Here's Chris from Pleasant View. Says, I've been wanting to say this for the past 3 weeks, held back, wasn't totally sure. I think Buffalo and Kansas City are both overrated. Buffalo definitely still a pretty good team. Think we're giving them too much credit for beating KC, because KC doesn't look good anymore. What do y'all think? Is there truth behind what I'm saying? Well, first of all, I still think Buffalo's up with any contender in the AFC. I'm also not going to shovel dirt on the Chiefs, but they've got issues. I mean, the Chiefs have issues. The offensive line clearly isn't as rebuilt as we thought. The defense is not good. I don't know. We thought the defense was going to be very good. Actually, it's a pretty good outcome for them to give up 27 points to the Titans. I mean, you know, when it's all said and done, they got some stops. But I don't know. Do you think the Chiefs are – we're going to get into AFC picture and contenders here in a little bit. But, I mean, do you think that the Chiefs are, like, in big trouble here, like playoff-making trouble here?
They're a team that you know, obviously is flawed, like so many. They don't rush the passer very well. They were better against the run Sunday than they usually are. But offensively, the knock on Mahomes is he doesn't really look to his secondary receivers. And suddenly, you know, the AFC West is a pretty good division. You know, like it or not, the Raiders look like they're going to be in it for the long haul.
They're free of Gruden and they're rolling.
Yeah, and the Chargers, of course, are going to be good. I don't think Denver's going to be a playoff contender.
No, they're terrible.
But they're still not a pushover. It's not going to be as easy maybe as it's been the last few years. But I still think the Chiefs are capable of a run. And when you've got a quarterback like Mahomes – you never count them out.
I mean, I do think that what we've heard a lot this year played out, which is if you can limit Hill and Kelsey, he doesn't have the third guy. Like Josh Gordon, maybe he becomes it, but Josh Gordon was the guy he was throwing to on the pick where David Long gets the tip and Rashawn Evans comes in for the diving. Really good play by Rashawn Evans. And that definitely played out yesterday, I thought. Like, they don't have that.
They never really replaced Sammy Watkins.
Right, the guy who killed the Titans
in
the AFC title game. The Titans did a good job. They had a good plan in that game. Really didn't let Hill go off, didn't let Kelsey go off, but Sammy Watkins killed him. So they're looking for that guy. But I do think, like, two games in 6 days like this against those teams, they're still – among the best in the league. You've got to give the Titans credit, and you're right, they probably won't get as much credit as they should here. But I think they're also, like yesterday, the post game, half of it was like, it was almost like rat poison post game, you know? A.J. Brown, Byard. I mean, Vrabel was like almost like furious in the post game, wanted to get out of there. like things go well in the field, and Vrabel, it's prickly to say the least. Joe from Maryland on the text line, driven by WillsCounty.com. I know who should get the credit, just like in school, when the teacher can't mark the answer of Jesus wrong. Derrick Henry, I don't really understand. But anyway, Derrick Henry gets credit for everything. Bone or Downey? Henry. Derrick Henry deserves tons of credit for a lot of things.
He was not the story yesterday.
But he wasn't, yeah.
Other than the jump pass.
Great. Yeah, I mean, look, he was the story. He helps everything else in the offense function better. There's no doubt. I mean, he warrants and draws so much attention, it does make it easier for you as a passing attack. But the Chiefs did a good job on him. And you know, the story yesterday was, to me, was the defense.
The other lesson that we should learn, and I say this every year when the schedule comes out, because it's not necessarily who you play, it's when you play them. And sometimes you just get certain teams at the right time. Because, I mean, who at the beginning of the season, if I told you that the Titans were going to win at Seattle decisively, and then they were going to beat Buffalo and Kansas City at home, you probably and lose to the Jets. So,
well, or if you said those three, you'd say, oh, so they're 7-0 right now?
Yeah, I know, right? Really. Yeah.
Well, the Jets are 1-5, and to your point, like, they got the Titans – at a time when A.J. Brown wasn't on the field and Julio Jones wasn't on the field. So it was good timing for the Jets. They may be sitting there at 1 at the end, too. I'm not sure. I think the Patriots-Jets looked like a guarantee game in the SEC, like the weekend before, you know, rivalry week. It was like Alabama against Troy, you know. it's amazing. But, you know, it is week to week. I mean, the Titans – there have been times, well-documented, oft-discussed, where a big win like this, then comes the we don't get respected around the league enough talk. And Kevin Byard even told the team before the game, and he talked about it afterward, we're not trying to, you know, prove anybody else wrong. We're trying to prove ourselves right, which is fine. You know, there's a lot of the same things said in here, but I do get the sense that they're serious about don't overreact to this. Don't. Yeah, and you and that's where the Jets loss is actually handy for them, right?
Yes.
I mean, like you don't have to like find a reason to not be grounded here. You've already given yourself that reason.
And if they thought this the AFC South path to the title was going to be a cakewalk, like you said, if you watched the 49ers and Colts last night, you realized no. And you know what could have set up maybe as a knockout punch on Sunday had the Colts lost. Would really allow Indy to sort of hang pretty close to the Titans, get to within a game. So, a lot going on.
Absolutely. So, we're actually going to get on that next here on Robbie and Rex Road, the AFC picture after the Titans' big win over the Chiefs here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.